The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. The gang is back together and a ton of stuff to get to, so let's not screw around. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome holiday and an awesome weekend. So much to get to. Texans game tonight. There's all sorts of good stuff going on. Mr. Hoffman, what is up with you, sir?
Sports, stuff like that, man. What's going on with you?
All kinds of stuff. Just happy to be here. Glad to be back in front of a microphone. So
you're glad to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. It's been, well, a week. But I only missed, what, a show and a half. But still, somebody texted me, asked me, how's your vacation going? I go, well, we posted 30 stories to Sports Map, and I went to 5 meetings, and I did my
it
national
show. It wasn't very vacation-y?
Yeah, it wasn't very vacation-y, but I took some time off this weekend, and I had a great, great break, so I'm ready to rock and roll. How was your Thanksgiving/long weekend?
Solid.
Yeah?
Solid, yeah. I've gained many pounds, but overall, I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there.
We had a blast. I want to do a shout out to Eureka Heights Brewery because they did a bike ride on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. That's good beer too. That's an underrated spot.
I'll tell you what, that Nuke the Whales of theirs. You know how I love those bourbon aged stouts. That is probably my favorite.
Oh, look at you! Yeah. Everything's your favorite.
Well, when it's new, it's new. But no, they did a hell of a cool bike ride. First time I've done one at night, and I'm not gonna lie, it was a little scary because we were doing that Heights Trail, and you couldn't really see, and it's pretty narrow. And if you fall to the left, you're dead.
Oh.
Because it's about a 30-foot drop.
I don't like that.
Yeah, but otherwise, it was great. And then did another one yesterday and drank a lot of good beer over the weekend. So just happy to be back in the saddle. And, man, can I just say, really glad to have Lance Zierlein on our station.
Me too.
This is a great...
If you recall, years ago, I was trying to get him to come to our station.
Yeah, well...
Trying very hard.
I'm so happy to have him back. And if you're not familiar with it yet, I don't know where you've been, but 7-9 now every morning, Lance and John, the team in Houston radio, back together, and then he does 30 minutes with John and Raheel right after that. So 7 to 9:30, looking forward to having him do some stuff for Sports Map. But man, the one thing I like about John and Lance, well, I wouldn't be in radio if not for John. I think I've told that story many times, and Lance was a big part of that too. But the one thing I always appreciated about their show and why it was the only one that I really listened to is because they were sort of the first guys that I heard come on and just be themselves.
Yeah.
And not, you know, try to force takes or, you know, there's guys in this market that are basically actors. They act like radio guy. That wasn't them. And they were completely different. And I like to think that's what we do, is just come on and be ourselves. So I'm so happy to have him back on the station. And, judging from all the social media today, it was a pretty cool deal.
Yeah. Did you hear the show, John?
Yeah, I tuned in.
How was it?
It was good. They asked him what he was doing for the last 6 years, and Lance said he was taking a giant crap.
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Well, yeah, I'm glad to have him on. I'm glad the whole lineup. I'm excited about the whole lineup.
It's really cool to have all local from 7 to 7, basically. And we got, and Lance being here just helps the whole station, and I hope it, it's just, I'm fired up about everything we're doing here. It's just very exciting time, so. And
Sports Map, you've been sports mapping?
I've been sports mapping.
I sports mapped last night. I wrote for you last night.
And I would like to point out, this is Mr. Hoffman's second article and he's going to be doing one a week for us, and very excited about that as well. He's recapping college basketball, and he does a fantastic job. So if you miss some of the games, he's going to have you covered every week.
And it's, I don't know, I know nobody cares about college basketball because it's, what, November? But between A&M, TCU, Texas Tech, Baylor, even Texas a little bit, UH looks good. There's some really good basketball being played in our state of Texas, so it's worth checking out. A&M had probably the best week of anybody in the country.
Yeah.
So it was it's good stuff. Good stuff going on in college hoops.
And and Texas.
And if you don't read my stuff now, don't come asking me for stuff to help you fill out your bracket come March.
Exactly.
I'm trying to tell you now.
And he tweeted out the link, so it's on the site. Go check that out. There's a lot of good stuff today, and if I could just do a quick pitch on this, besides AJ's college basketball recap, we have Paul's Rockets recap, which is always really good if you miss Rockets games, which some of you probably did because you were in food comas. He's got you covered on that. We've got Jermaine does his good, bad, and ugly from the NFL, and he does a great job on that. That's up today. Yesterday I posted a look at 10 possible coaches for A&M now that Kevin Sumlin's out, which we'll talk about in just a minute. And and also Ken Hoffman did a 10 questions for Lance Erline. So that's also on the page. Just really good stuff, and did a lot of work on it over the break, and just very excited about where that site's going, and the response has been fantastic. So thanks to everybody who thanks to everybody who's been reading it, and good response so far. And I've got all the big dogs writing for me. I got, yeah. Now that I've got you, got Granato, I got, you know, I'm gonna have Zerline doing stuff. Barry Laminack's gonna do some things for me. Palillo's on there. Barry Warner. Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a good collection, and plus there's just general stuff too. Like, I've got so many good. I'll pat myself on the back. I put together a really good group of writers for this thing. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet, 713-780-ESPN. Where do you want to start, man? We want to start with,
I think college football in general. I mean, this was between Miami losing and Alabama losing, there's definitely a shakeup. And I don't know. It's a weird thing because I was trying to figure it out, who's going to end up being in, who's going to end up being out. And there's a lot of things that play into, you know, obviously a lot of these games that are going to happen this weekend matter. But we know the ACC champion is going to be in. That's a given.
Yeah, I think that, and that's the thing. I think we actually have the playoffs starting this weekend because the winner of that game is in.
It's sort of, I mean, it's not quite an 8-team playoff.
It's close.
But it's close.
Yeah.
Because Alabama's sort of a straggler, and realistically, TCU can't win.
Yeah, can't see them getting in.
But I think that for sure the ACC winner is in, and for sure the SEC winner is in.
Yeah, no doubt.
Then you get to...
Oklahoma wins, they're in.
If Oklahoma wins, they're in. And if Oklahoma wins, they're probably my pick to win the championship. Because I was thinking about this. They basically are what Clemson was last year. They're a little rougher on defense than Clemson was, but they've got the best quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's not even close. They've got a magic quarterback who can carry them. And if Clemson's any recipe for how to win a championship, that's what Oklahoma's got. But if TCU wins, then we get into some muck. The Big Ten championship, if Wisconsin wins, they are in for sure.
Right, no doubt.
If Ohio State wins, it's iffy. Because then you get to, is a Big Ten champion Ohio State more deserving than a one-loss Alabama who didn't win the SEC?
I kind of think that's the way they'll go.
You think they'll go Ohio State over Alabama?
Ohio State over Alabama. And
I just can't imagine. And I know everyone finds it really easy to say Alabama didn't play anyone this year. People forget that when Alabama played Florida State, Florida State was one of the two or three best teams in the country, and their star quarterback that really cost them their season, he didn't slip on a banana peel. Alabama knocked him out. They killed him, and by doing so, killed Florida State's season. When Alabama played Florida State, they were a legit number two, number three team in the country.
Oh, yeah, no question.
So that whole and Florida State fell apart since then, and their record doesn't look like anything. So it's hard to point at them and say, oh, well, look at Florida State. Look how great they are. Well, yeah, Florida State sucked all year after they lost their quarterback. That tends to happen. Take a look at, down on Kirby. What can happen when you lose your quarterback? Yeah. But it's Alabama and Ohio State are the two teams that I think are going to be battling for that last spot. And I think it's going to be really interesting. I do. And
well, one more thing on Alabama. Let's give them a little credit for that LSU win, because
LSU win looks good.
LSU played its best football of the season during that stretch, and Alabama beat.
Yeah, and LSU, by the way, nobody has improved over the course of the season more than LSU. Maybe Auburn.
I think Auburn.
But
yeah.
I mean, LSU is so good now. I mean, I wouldn't want to play them now. They've got it figured out. That quarterback who sucked, you know, the first half of the season is now pretty solid. He's not spectacular, but he's solid.
Yeah.
But I, for me, I cannot get past. You know what? You lose to Oklahoma by double digits. Okay, that happens. You get trounced by Iowa by 30 some points. It's unforgivable to me. It can't happen. You can't lose by 30 points to a team that wins 7 games. You just can't do it. So to me, that's why I would have Alabama in over Ohio State. But again, it may be a moot point depending on how things work out.
I think if you're Alabama, you're hoping Oklahoma loses. I think that's your best path.
Yeah,
because there's no way you're getting in over Auburn or Georgia. There's no way you're getting in over a one-loss ACC team. And I think you take that debate out of question if Oklahoma loses. So I think if you're Alabama, you have to be a big TCU fan. Because I think when it comes down to it, and it'll be cool that we get to see this next week, I think they'll put Ohio State in over Bama. And if Wisconsin wins, you can't take a one-loss Alabama over an unbeaten Wisconsin that just beat Ohio State.
Oh, Wisconsin that wins the Big Ten. I mean, whoever wins the Big Ten, if you're undefeated and win the Big Ten, you should be in.
Yeah.
That's not debatable, in my opinion. I mean, they ended up with a pretty smooth sailing schedule, but to beat Ohio State at the end, that's you're deserving. So do I think Wisconsin will beat Ohio State? No. But
well, no JT Barrett, though. I mean, if he doesn't play.
That's true.
I mean, I think he'll try to go out there, but you know, we'll see. All right, so much more to get.
Well, they were able to beat Michigan with a backup quarterback.
I think Wisconsin's better than Michigan because Michigan had to trot John O'Korn out there. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Republic Harley-Davidson, packed with a huge selection of new and used Harley-Davidsons starting this week. Republic Harley-Davidson, they're extending their hours 7 days a week now during the holiday season. That 7 days a week during the holiday season means you've got plenty of time to check out and test drive that newer used Harley that you've been dreaming about. You're going to be blown away from the moment you walk in this place. And at Republic Harley-Davidson, they know you've got a choice when it comes to choosing your dealership in Houston. There's a handful of them. They're committed to making a trip to their dealership the best possible experience. They go out of their way. They go above and beyond the other Harley shops. Whether you're an experienced rider or someone new to the lifestyle, Republic Harley-Davidson can help you out. They've got an award-winning service department that can keep your Harley operating at a peak performance. If you need riding lessons, they've got Learn to Ride or Ride Better the Harley-Davidson way. Give them a call today. Sign up for the new rider course or the skilled rider course to take your skills to the next level. And the rider in your life definitely wants more Harley-Davidson gear for Christmas. So come check out Republic Harley-Davidson's wide selection of clothing, riding gear, memorabilia, something for everybody. And don't miss out on the holiday open house this Saturday. Refreshments, demo rides, music, door prizes, and factory-approved promotions in every department. They've got financing for everyone, and they're open 7 days a week during the holiday. 12707 Southwest Freeway down in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or check them out online, republichd.com. That's Republic Harley Davidson.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And Texter says it was the first week of the year. How do you know how good Florida State would have been? The entire rest of the team has been garbage all year. All I know is eye tests. That team looked damn good against Alabama before he got hurt. And that's all I have to go on. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I do think I'm pretty excited about this weekend, because I do feel like we've got 2.5 playoff games. Maybe 3.5. essentially, because obviously SEC, ACC for sure, probably Big Ten, and then Oklahoma, they're half of it. They have to win. So that's pretty cool. Ashton Jay says, are bowl games the best way to judge conference quality across the board?
No.
In fact, bowl games are essentially, other than the playoff games, they're pretty much just exhibitions that are pretty much meaningless. That's all they are. Especially because teams go for a month without playing, and a lot of them are just, some teams are happy to be there. Some guys are going to sit out because they don't want to get hurt, and they should sit out if they're going to get drafted. But they're fairly meaningless, and it's not a good way to judge conferences. It's the only people who do that are people who are trying to get a boost of their conference.
No, I mean you can judge based off like the bowl games that matter, the playoff bowl games, but even then, that's a team, not a conference.
Right. Right.
So there's really no way to judge what the best conference is and things like that. We talk about that a lot. I mean, you can do eye test, and you know.
I think the closest thing for me is how many guys go to the NFL draft. That's where your quality players, they're drafting the best players, theoretically.
Yeah.
And if your conference is sending twice as many as everybody else, especially first three rounds, you probably had the best conference. But, you know, it is kind of an exercise in futility to try to argue which conference is better than the other, because you really don't know, except for when you do have games where the big teams play each other. And that's happening more and more, but it's also early in the season. And you can see, look, this LSU team right now is not the same LSU team that got beat by Troy.
Nope.
You play that game again, and I think they're eating Troy's soul. But that's the thing. Over the course of a season, some teams get better, some teams. And in Alabama's case, they really have had a bunch of injuries this year, key players. And I think for once they don't have quite the depth enough to make up for it. And it showed, because this wasn't a fluke where a kick six with Auburn beat them.
Yeah.
So
beat them handily.
Yeah. Why does TCU not get the same two loss champ love as Ohio State, at least equal wins and better losses? I don't think they have equal wins. And they do have better losses, but I don't know. Iowa State, it's a 6-6, 7-5 team that you lost to.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the OU loss is good, but I just don't think TCU has enough body of work. And let's be perfectly honest, if it comes down to TCU or Ohio State, TCU ain't getting in, or TCU or Alabama. I mean, they're not going to put them in over tradition matters with these guys. So I don't think they have any chance. And I think they could win that game, but I don't think they have any chance.
I'm with you.
So 713-780, our buddy Gustav says – so true about that. Nuke the whales. I got a bottle at home. I may drink that during the Texans game tonight. Let's squeeze in a call. Corey, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
What's going on, guys?
Sports
to you. Hey, just playing off this college football talk here. I'm a Sooner fan. I'm curious to know which two teams out of the maybe five or six prospective playoff teams that we have, which two of them do you think are going to be the biggest obstacle to Oklahoma winning the title? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, TCU, for one.
Yeah, you got to get by them first.
Because if you don't beat them, you're not winning the title. And then, you know, honestly, I think Auburn may be the other one.
Although, if Auburn's running back is out, and he looked bad at the end of that game,
yeah,
that's a huge loss for them. And I think that would definitely impact. I think that's going to impact them this week against Georgia, if he's done. Now, he may be healthy by the playoffs, assuming they win this week, which I don't know that they will either. I think you're going to see a different Georgia team than you did the last time these two played. I would almost say, because they play such good defense, Clemson would be the team I'd be worried about if I were an OU fan.
Clemson, my assumption is, and this is why I say, I think at the end of it, if everything works out the way that I think it's going to work out, then Clemson's going to be number one. Oklahoma's going to be number two. And then probably Auburn 3 and either Alabama or Ohio State 4. That's my best guess at it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just easy for me to say Oklahoma. They're two biggest things standing in their way are TCU and then Auburn, because those are the two that I know they're probably going to play.
Yeah, and I think this is really cool that we're down to the only possible conversation is going to be a two-loss Ohio State champion versus one-loss Alabama.
That's the big discussion.
And that's what it's going to
barring something crazy. I mean, like, yeah. You know, I say crazy, but if TCU beats Oklahoma, then they'll hold the I mean, maybe they both make it.
Maybe.
You know, if Wisconsin wins, then obviously that means there's not much of a discussion.
There's no debate, yeah. So I think it's pretty cool that it's come down to this and these championship games actually mean something. Although, and again, I think the Big 12, if TCU wins that, I think it's not going to really help them because, frankly, it's kind of a contrived game. These teams have already played. It's not like you have two division winners where they might not, like, you know, Auburn and Georgia have already played, but you know, they've also they do divisions. It just seems like this contrived game that all it's going to do is not, because right now, if Oklahoma didn't have to play this game, they're in.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, this is one where the Big 12, which is probably the worst run conference of all the big ones, has probably shot themselves in the foot again. If TCU wins,
well, that's what's themselves. Funny about the, you know, when we're talking about all these, you notice there's one conference that we haven't mentioned at all, and that's the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And now, granted, they only all their championship game is going to be between two loss programs, but I wonder if, you know, if they have any beef, if things, you know, when the smoke clears, if they could say, oh, well, look at it.
Well, a two-loss USC versus a two-loss Ohio State. You're going to have to, I think you have to look at that. And, you know, one-loss Alabama. USC's losses, well, they just got killed by Notre Dame. That was a bad one.
That was ugly.
The Washington State losses, not bad at the time. That was a good football team, tough place to play. I'm not going to write off too much on that.
Well, and with like three of their starting offensive linemen hurt,
yeah,
it is a weird game. My biggest beef with USC is non-conference. Their best win is Texas, or I mean Western Michigan. They didn't have the
and they struggled against both those teams.
Yeah, well, they end up winning, beating Western Michigan by almost 20, but it took overtime to beat Texas, who at the time, maybe we thought that would be a quality win.
They were down against Western Michigan. Most of they came back. They blew that game open late, but that game was close.
Yeah.
They did not look good in that game.
And then Washington, on the other hand, they don't have a quality non-conference win. I mean, Fresno State's solid for a group of five school, but they're not that's not a quality win. Their only Power 5 win was at Rutgers. And then their losses at Arizona State and at Stanford. Granted, they were both close games. I just don't know that they were. I don't think that's good enough, especially when your schedule skips USC. You know, they skip over.
Right.
They avoided UCLA. No, they didn't avoid UCLA. Who else did they miss in that schedule? Maybe that's it. Arizona, the other team that was pretty decent in the South. So I just don't think that their resume lines up. But I do think it's tough to be the Pac-12 and be a Power 5 conference and no one's even given you a thought of making the playoffs.
It'll be interesting to see where they put USC in these next rankings, because then you'll know.
Well, whoever wins, Washington or USC, they're going to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – which, for those guys, I mean, that's the one good thing for the Pac-12 guys. I mean, if you can't win a national championship, it's almost better to play in the Rose Bowl. Like, that's what they live for, which I don't necessarily get it, but that's what they care about. So one of those teams is going to get to play in the Rose Bowl, and so that's as good as being the runner up in the championship playoff, I guess, for them.
All right. Well, while you do this, I'm going to make a run to my car to get an energy drink. I want to see if I can get back in time.
Good for you. Ready, set, go, guys. The anniversary grill sale happening now at Texas Star Grill Shop. Stop by today for the best prices. Come on, AJ, the best prices, not the breast prices. On all the big brands, Traeger, Weber, Kamado Joe, Napoleon, Sabre, Green Mountain. Don't make a big box mistake this holiday season or assume that you're going to save money online. The team over at Texas Star Grill Shop will help you choose a grill that's right for you. And, guys, they've got them all. Those Green Mountain grills, it's a wood pellet grill with amazing temperature control from 150 to 500 degrees. You can control your grill Wi-Fi. I mean, it's really amazing. You can monitor the internal temperature of your meat through an app. How crazy is that? And as always, guys, free delivery, free assembly. They've got tons of sauces, rubs, spices that help make it all taste better. Get a grill that's going to last and enjoy the holidays with family and friends. Save big during the anniversary grill sale. Stop by the Texas Star Grill Shop located Shepherd and 59 in Houston and on Luetta and Spring in the Champions area. It's TexasGrillShop.com. Texas Star Grill Shop, we have your grill.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back. Somebody mentioned Stanford's in the game, not Washington. And they've got three losses. So it would have to be USC winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Stanford and USC, not Washington.
Oh, USC. Okay. I thought Washington.
No, Stanford.
Okay.
So, yes, I know that UCF will not get in. What will it take for a non-Power 5? It's going to take a year like this where you got a lot of two-loss teams, only more.
Yeah.
You'd have to have three.
But honestly, do you really want to see it? That's my question.
Well, I want to see it if it's a team.
You want to see it if it's Houston.
If their schedule was like it was when they beat Oklahoma and Louisville.
Right.
If they had run the table then I would be interested in it. But UCF didn't play anybody. And
yeah. I'm with you on that. Like if you're gonna make, if you're, I mean, UCF, I won't say they didn't play anybody because they played Georgia Tech. Well, or they scheduled Georgia Tech. They ended up not playing that game, right?
So they can't get credit for that.
Yes, and I guess their only win.
What's their best win? USF,
because yeah,
Memphis.
They won at Maryland. That was a Power 5 win. Yeah, I mean,
I think Memphis maybe wind up being their best win, but that team's much better now, which is why I'm
kinda... And the other game they scheduled was Austin Peay, which, you know, that's cool. That was one of the schools that I attended in my life. I'm, you know, show me your penis, but yeah, that's not the kind of school you schedule if you want to make it to a playoff game.
But
sorry,
it's also going to get Scott Frost a better job. I'm pretty sure. So we got a lot of,
and I mean, let's be realistic about what UCF is. If UCF got put on the same field as Auburn, it wouldn't be competitive.
I want
to see the four best teams.
Well, I don't know if it'd be competitive or not because I don't know how good they are, because they haven't matched up with somebody where I can say, okay, if they play at this level, then they can play with those guys. Now, I don't think they could play with them for two games.
No, that's impossible.
You might jump up and beat one of these teams in the semis, but you're not going to beat two of them. But I think they deserve a little more love than they're getting in the rankings. But even this year, if UH had run the table, their best win would have been Arizona before the quarterback switch.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be good enough. I mean, it'd be a good win, but that wouldn't be good enough to put them in this conversation, in my opinion. So, I mean, it's going to take – they could have done it. I think last year was the year they could have done it if they had run the table and not fallen apart when Tom Herman was already going to Texas, because you'd have had wins over Oklahoma and at Louisville, which was good at the time. And I think those two wins plus – some pretty quality wins over the Memphises and Navies of the world, which they didn't beat. But that would have been enough to put you in that discussion. But I just don't think UCF has done enough to be in that discussion. Although, again, I think they deserve better than what they're getting.
Yeah.
Well, as surprised Kelly ended up at UCLA with better jobs available? Not really, because I think he wanted to get back to the Pac-12. And more so than Florida. I think he's a better fit out there.
I think, well, first of all, there's a couple things that go into that. And whoever paid Chip Kelly was going to expect to win pretty quickly, which is fair. If you're paying the guy that kind of money, you expect him to win, obviously. At Florida, there's already a built-in expectation that program should be good no matter who's coaching it. It clearly hasn't been the case. But to me, Florida's a program that maybe there aren't those programs anymore, because I always thought Florida, Texas, USC, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, those are programs that whoever was coaching, you should win there. And all of those programs in the last several years have proven that's not the case.
Well, and I think it's not the case anymore. I think you have to have the right coach. Now, you have advantages at those schools.
Yes.
If you have the right coach. But basically, you know, Tom Herman going 6-6 in his first year, that's...
But, which, by the way, what do you think of Tom Herman? What would you grade his first year as a head coach at Texas?
C-.
I think that might be generous. I think that, and first of all, they got to get rid of that offensive coordinator. It's a total mess.
Yeah, yeah.
But Tom Herman, who seemed like such a player's coach at UH, now that there's more pressure on him and there, you know, there's more eyes watching, he's throwing guys under the bus every chance he gets. When Ehlinger threw that, and Sam Ehlinger sucks, but when he throws that pick late in that game, and they say, "Well,
what were they doing there?
How about say, well, I don't want to." And when they say, "What did you what'd you talk to Sam about on that play?" And he's like, "I don't. We can't have that happen. I don't know what he's thinking there. We can't let that happen." How about say, "That was a stupid play call. We should have been running the ball there, and that's on me." But now every chance he gets, he's throwing his players under the bus. It's very strange.
I think, and I still think they'll be successful under him. But we talked about this before. The pressure there, it's a hell of a lot different when you're at Houston. Because the reality is they're happy that you can have that kind of season. And those wins mean something. Beating Oklahoma at Texas is nice, but it's expected. Beat them at Houston, you've accomplished something huge.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think that he's an emotional guy. It's an adjustment for him. He's going to have to learn how to deal with that, and I think he will. But he's also going to have to—he's going to have to make some changes on that staff. He can't.
But doesn't seem interested in doing so.
But that's the thing. You've given him pretty much ultimate power there, and I think if you don't make some changes, I don't think you're looking at any better than 7 or 8 wins next year tops.
Yeah, I didn't see the I didn't see much progression. Now defensively, they're very good. But that again makes me go, well, what's Tom Herman's job? What's he doing? If defensively they're really good, what's Tom Herman doing? Why isn't the offense better? He's an offensive guy.
And it's clear he doesn't have a quarterback that he can trust. And that's any coach. Jim Harbaugh is a hell of a lot better when he actually has a quarterback who can play and not a bunch of Division III scrubs, which is essentially what he's been trotting out there. And yeah, I think that will make all the difference in the world. But you look at their season, and it's not like they got blown out. I mean, they were close in everything. I think you get a good quarterback, that turns around. But they've got to go out and get one. And, you know, I think that's just the biggest problem there. That'll make that whole offense better.
Well, they're going to lose Connor Williams, who, you know, played, what, 2 games this year? I still think he's going to be a first-round draft pick. And that's when, if you look at mock drafts and a guy's missed almost a full season and he still would be a first-round draft pick, that guy's probably going to go.
Yeah.
So you've got him to replace, who's, you know, arguably one of the best offensive linemen in the country. You're going to have to replace some guys on defense. You know, there's some players leaving the program now. But until, again, like you said, until you get a quarterback, what's your ceiling?
And I would also just kind of throw out there that my one thing about Tom Herman was he didn't really win with his own guys at Houston. He won with Tony Levine's guys and a couple of his sprinkled in the second year. And I think I want to see how this plays out. If he gets his guys, how good they can be. And it may or may not work, but I still believe in the guy and I think they'll be all right. But he does need to realize that maybe some of these characters on my coaching staff aren't quite working out. Speaking of which, just getting back to games this week, I really like Memphis against UCF. I know they got blown out the first time they played.
Yeah.
But you know there's going to be Scott Frost rumors all week. We see how distracting that can be. They're the undefeated team that's trying to get the big bowl. Memphis is playing really, really well right now. And I could see them not just covering but pulling off an upset.
Yeah.
But long way to go before that. How was your betting weekend?
It was okay. College basketball started to pick up. So I had a rough start to college basketball. The first week was pretty bad. The last week, 10 days, I've done really well. I'm probably like 10, 12 games over 500. So that's that helps. NFL, I played 2 games yesterday. I cut way down on volume. The third game that I dropped was Buffalo plus, because it went off of 10, and it was down to 9, and I was like, I'd rather have 10, so I didn't play it, which was dumb. But yesterday, I played both pretty heavy, but I split. I played the Colts plus 3.5,
and they
lost by a half point.
That one killed me because in our pool with Eric, that half point cost me the pool this week.
Yeah.
But
And then my other one was the Rams minus 2.5, and they they did all right. Big week for favorites.
I mean,
I think three underdogs covered this week. That's it. And the Packers were one.
The Cardinals were one,
and the Bills were one. That was the only three.
I had the best sports betting weekend I've had all year, and it was damn near the best one I've ever had, except for the freaking CFL game. I did something I almost never do, but Saturday I absolutely loved the over on Memphis. I loved the over on SMU. I hammered them both hard, and then I did a parlay with the two of them, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to get a little extra value and play one more parlay. Calgary's a lock to win the Grey Cup, -7. I got this.
You just needed a money line, right?
Yeah, I just money lined them. I didn't even cover seven. I just money lined them. I figured I got this. And they blow a 17-8 halftime lead and lose. And I just like, ugh. You know, that sucked. But because that was 250 to win like 1,100, I think. So, but that's all right. Everything else worked out because I hit those two games. I hammered the Bengals against the Browns because that average score, Bengals versus Browns over the last like 6 years or something, is like 30-4.
I had Bengals in the I had Bengals in the survivor pool this week, so I survived. The only other guy left had the Steelers. Almost got him.
Yeah, I went out last week with the Chiefs. Thank you, Chiefs, for that choke job against the Giants. Of course, Chiefs have kind of gone to hell since then, but we'll do the NFL at 5 o'clock. But, yeah, it was a good weekend, man, and it started with I had USF to cover against UCF. Damn near got an outright win in that one. And, yeah, just a really good weekend all around. So, and the only games I missed were my small plays.
Yeah.
Like, the Colts was one of them. But everything else, all my big plays came through. It was nice for a change because it has not gone that way this year, as those of you who listen to the show know. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
Here we go. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. The site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, John Granato, Lance Zierlein, Charlie Polillo, Barry Warner, AJ Hoffman, me, and more. If you aren't on SportsMap every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now, SportsMap.com. Okay, I wrote this liner, and I know it was perfect when I sent it to you guys. John Granato is misspelled.
Oh, somehow it gets messed up in the wash.
It is not D, it is a T.
That's my bad.
I'm just saying, I actually did the work, sent it to you guys so I couldn't complain about it, and this is what I get. You know, we haven't talked Aggie yet, and we were talking a little bit about that off air, so let's go.
Yeah, well, obviously we are not surprised that Kevin Sumlin's gone, agreed? We assume that if he lost this game, he may have even been gone had he won this game.
Yeah, he would have been. From what I understand, the decision had been made.
You tell me, because is this sources say Jimbo Fisher will take the job. Are these the same source? Are they message board sources like Nick Saban will be the next head coach at Texas type sources? Because that every fan base does that. That's what the message board does. They aim as high as they can, and then it starts to roll. But now, like, credible websites are saying, sources say, I want to know who these sources are because I still haven't heard anything legit about Jimbo going there. And it doesn't make sense to me, to be honest, Jimbo leaving Florida State for A&M.
Well, $7.5 million a year, but I would think Florida State would just match that. Maybe he wants a new challenge. Maybe he wants something different. Maybe he wants to get in the SEC. I don't know. But, you know, what makes sense to us doesn't always make sense to the people involved. And from what I understand, and speaking of which, I wrote a really good article on Sports Map, throwing 10 names out there that have come up. But from what I understand, they really believe they're getting him. Now, I also think LSU really believed they were getting him last year, too. So until it's signed and sealed, I'm not going to buy it. But no, it's not message board. It's actually coming from people pretty high up at A&M.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean that they're right. Doesn't mean that they're, you know, he's not going to change his mind. Doesn't mean that he's not, you know. But they're also looking at other coaches, which tells me it ain't a done deal. No matter what anybody says, because I keep hearing it's a done deal. Well,
I don't believe it's a done deal.
I don't either. But, man, you listen to Fisher talk, and he sure doesn't go out of his way to even remotely try to deny it. Basically, I don't talk about other jobs. I mean, just say, I'm not going to Texas A&M. That's all you got to say if you're not going somewhere. Now, I thought he might be in play at Florida because there was a lot of speculation. I was reading some stuff from Orlando, and they thought that he might actually be interested in the Florida job.
Right.
Which would make sense.
But now, is Dan Mullen official, or is that a source?
Dan
to
Mullen's
say?
Official. No, official. They announced that last night. Okay. Yes, press conference and everything, which I think good hire.
That came out around the same time. Was sources close to Florida say they will hire Dan Mullen? Which, by the way, eventually we're gonna have to talk about Greg Schiano too, because that's such a great story. Horrible story. It's a great story.
Also, by the way, David Bailiff out at Rice.
Yeah, that's not a shock. Yeah, it's probably about time.
Yeah,
that's he's done some good things there, but let's face it.
But if this is true with Jimbo Fisher, then I think it's the best possible hire.
It's a home run.
It is a grand slam.
And that's what I, you know, when I was tweeting about this yesterday, of course, when I start talking about it, Aggie comes at me without question that was going to happen. But all I was saying, and I'm not saying that if they get Jimbo, it's not the best possible scenario. It absolutely is the best possible scenario. I mean, that's an A-level coach. What I said was, it just seems weird that an A-level coach would leave an A-level program for a B-level program. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, rile Aggie up when I say that, but it's just realistic that A&M is not a championship-level program. And you could say, well, they've got everything in place, you just need to get the right coach. And to that I say, well, how have you never found the right coach if that's all it's going to take? That seems impossible. By now, if everything else was in place and all it was if you're just one great coach away, you would have found a coach by now, sometime in the last 40, 50 years. There would have been one to come along. It just doesn't happen. That's why I say A&M's a really good job, because they do have great facilities. They've got a lot of money. They've got a great alumni base. They've got a great recruiting base. But they are not a championship tier program, because in my life they've never won a championship. Otherwise I would have known, you know. And at some point, if you're a championship level program, you win a championship. And Florida State, do they have as good of a stadium as Aggie? Nope. Do they have do they have as much money? No. Do they have as good of an alumni base? No. But in my lifetime, they've won 3 national championships. Could have won more. That's to me, that's what makes it a better football program. And it just seems weird that Jimbo Fisher, unless there's some, you know, and there's been a lot of reasons discussed. Jimbo Fisher's wife cheated on him allegedly with a former FSU player. Okay, that's not ideal. Jimbo Fisher's son needs medical care that he can get here and not in Tallahassee. Okay, that makes sense. But from a pure football standpoint, Jimbo Fisher getting up and leaving Florida State to go to Texas A&M makes no sense.
I again, though, what appeals to somebody, or what makes sense to you and me, it might make perfect sense to him. It might be that he, you know, that's where he wants to be. I don't know. I'd be interested to actually hear from him.
I mean, obviously, just think about this. You and I, obviously, we come to work because they pay us to work here. But you and I also, we work here because we feel like we can win. If they put our show on, you know, 87.6, some religious station.
Praise Jesus.
We would have no chance of winning. So it would be pointless for us to go there, right? Even if they offered us a little bit more money, I still can't picture going there because there's no way for us to win there.
Joke about that, but that almost happened.
What do you mean?
They almost bought the religious station.
Almost bought us.
Yeah,
we would have been dead.
Yeah, we'd have been fine.
We'd have been. Yeah, we'd be somewhere else by now.
But My point is that there's places that you, if things go right, you can win there. Then there's places where a lot of stuff can go right and you still can't win. And I point to John Football, and it's Kevin Sumlin's best chance at winning, obviously, was when John Manziel was there. They had a generational...
And Mike Evans. Let's not forget about him. They had two terrific players. But
And guys on defense, too. But they had a generational talent at quarterback. And they couldn't win with him. And, at Clemson, and a lot of people try to compare Clemson and Texas A&M, which Clemson has now gotten into that championship conversation because they found the right coach and they had the right quarterback. But... Is Clemson a better job than Florida State? I don't think so. I still think Clemson is, I don't know if Clemson's even a top 15 football job. They just happen to have a great coach right now. I still don't think it's a top job. Florida State's a top job. Texas A&M is a good job, but it's not like an end-all be-all in my opinion. A lot of things could fall into right Jimbo coach. Fisher's thinking.
And the thing is, the right coach, though, I do think you can get into that conversation, and I think that's what A&M thinks. Now, the reality is, to me...
Again, Fred, this is not my argument. A&M thinks that. Of course, and of course, Aggie fan believes that. Why does Jimbo Fisher think that is my question.
Well, maybe they've sold him on it.
Because
maybe they've sold them on, look, this is what we've got. This is what we can pay you. These are the facilities.
Let's be realistic
about it. You get a chance to go and beat Nick Saban.
Right. But what is Texas A&M? Am I off base saying A&M, Texas A&M football is the fourth best college football program in the SEC West? Am I wrong if I say that?
I think not really, but I do think you can make a case that A&M is Auburn before Auburn started winning championships. Very similar type program. And if you go back historically and look at it.
What are the signs that say that that's about to happen?
Well, getting the right coach for one thing. I mean, you got to have the right coach. It all goes back to that. You don't think Urban Meyer could win a national championship at A&M?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, now can Jimbo Fisher? That'll be interesting because the reality is...
Although, by the way, Urban Meyer hasn't won a championship at Ohio State yet.
No, he hasn't. Well, he did. Yeah, they did, because Tom Herman was his OC.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
So, yes, he could win at A&M.
But, and let's also talk about when Auburn won their championship, did they have the right coach?
Yeah, the right OC for sure.
Because Gene Chizik isn't even coaching anymore, and he's got a national title.
Yeah, I think that was...
Gene Chizik works at the SEC Network.
I think that was Gus Malzahn's title, frankly.
Right.
I mean, that's
Cam Newton's title.
Well, but those two
were
the reason that team won.
All right. We'll continue talking about Texas A&M on the other side. Guys, shopping for electricity rates, it can be tough. Triangle Energy is trying to make it easy for you. They're a born and raised in Texas company. They provide simple fixed rates, which means you're paying the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. It's an easy, fast sign-up process with no gimmicks and no surprises on your bill. Sign up for the basic Eagle 12. What that does, it locks you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents. When you use the promo code ESPN, you're going to get a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. And Triangle, not only do they give you that good rate, but they're just trying to make your home more energy efficient overall and save you money in the long haul. What are you waiting for, guys? It's an easy decision. You're going to feel good about it. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com. PUCT number 10064.